heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
It's a pretty big difference between the left and the right in our country. The left, well, they're about big government. They're more about control over everyday functions of your life. They're about bringing the power to the Washington base. The left, they're more of a globalist community. They look at sort of a global environment. They don't have any problem with spending Americans' taxpayer dollars into these big bureaucracy-driven government programs. This is pretty standard for the left. They're about taxes, pay more taxes for everybody so they can raise more money, do more with it, you know. The right is about less government. It's not about a globalist. It's what Trump brought back to the party. It was about putting America first. Now remember that the whole MAGA deal and Make America Great Again was after, well, close to about 30 years of big government globalist mindsets for sure. And that all sort of was really encapsulated with the Obama administration in that 8 years, which were a complete train wreck to America's independence and sovereignty. And there were a lot of damage in those Obama years, which is why he was always on these tours apologizing for American greatness and American exceptionalism. He didn't believe in it. He said, yeah, everybody's got greatness. There's, you know, the French have the French greatness and the Germans have the German. He just didn't get the concept of what it was all about, but shouldn't surprise any of us. But you think about the left and the right in these terms and what they're looking for, for our great country. And there's a lot of disparity there. I mean, the right, again, patriotism, conservatism, people who they typically respect the Constitution, understand the importance and the value of that document and what it means, more originalist versus making the Constitution a living, breathing document, which is really what the left wants to do pretty routinely. And there are a lot of telltale signs that you can emphasize those points with from the left and the right when it comes to their belief system in the Constitution. And what they see as a future for America here. There's been a lot of talk here these past few years now about socialism creeping into our society. It's no longer just a laughing matter anymore. Everything has gotten really weird, tense, strange. And I know you know what I'm speaking about. I mean, it just is. And you kind of know we're going through this metamorphosis, best way to say it, I guess, in the country, and not in a good way, it seems. It seems like we take, a step forward, sometimes two steps forward, and then we tend to take two steps or four steps backwards again, and then we're making up for, lost ground. It's a sad way. It's a sad way to govern. It's a sad way to operate the nation, but it appears to be what is happening again. After 4 years of trying to turn back this globalist environment and get out of all these crazy deals, the Paris Accord and the Iran agreement and all the big climate change conversations and deals they were having about our fossil fuels and things they wanted to do to not make America energy independent, keep us tied to these foreign wars, the military industrial complex again, build that up. And it's big government apparatus. It's all of that. It's a pretty big difference between the left and the right. There's another big difference that I haven't mentioned to you yet, and it's actually the biggest one I want to talk to you about today. And this one makes all the difference, actually. The left, well, they have unity. The right, not so much. They do not. And that is the big difference between the left and the right. It's unity. The left has it, the right does not. And you're seeing that now with the pile-on that's going on with President Trump. You see right now the support, even the fact that there's been the support up front with some of the players was even a surprise to some of us because it almost always crumbles quickly. But Trump probably was such a force in the party, his likability factor in the GOP with Republicans in general was off the charts. I mean, it was really crazy in the stratosphere. And he was really loved by the Republican Party and all, and still is to this moment. But you have a lot of big government people in the Republican Party. You tend to sometimes refer to them as rhinos, but it actually goes further than that. And there's a whole host of those people out there. And they love sort of that schmoozing that Washington provides and that big government apparatus. And you rub my back, I'll rub yours, or, you know, take one for the team kind of thing. Well, keep in mind, this is how they all get wealthy. It is sort of that environment. It's, you know, the big parties, you wear your beautiful gowns and your tux, and they get ultimately really super wealthy. And it's the payoffs. Remember, the Republicans and Democrats join forces in a lot of ways when it comes to this corrupt behavior. Well, hell, they did that with the whole hush fund up there. Remember all the sexual perverts all up there getting the government money to pay off. We never did get to the bottom of that hush fund. We never did get to see that, you know, was never divulged to the American people. But it's a prime example, is all I'm saying, of how the Republicans and Democrats unite when it comes to screwing over the American people. So I understand where Trump came from. He understood where the cancer was, and he wasn't the smoozer, more or less. He was a let's get real kind of guy. And you got to remember how broken Washington was and why it was important to get it real. Yeah, the old adage now of drain the swamp and what that was about, you know, the deep state, the establishment. You know, and of course, we're seeing that play right out here with the 2020 election and all of these massive claims of fraud and scandal. And it's an absolute train wreck what's been happening here. So what I did today is I did something a little bit different this morning. And I thought, you know, it is important. One of the things I speak about all the time is there are so many of us, and, you know, I tend to fall into the same trap as many of you do, but we all tend to live in echo chambers. We just do. We like to hang with sort of like-minded people. It's very natural. It's a very, very natural human tendency, actually. You know, being uncomfortable, it can be messy. It can be, well, uncomfortable. It can tighten you up and you don't really feel the best. And there are times when it can be downright aggravating. I mean, really aggravating. Like you say, I don't need this crap, man. You're right. Sometimes we don't need this crap. Sometimes we just need a break, people. I mean, listen, I totally get it. Totally, totally get it. But there are also times we need to get out of our comfort zones. There are times when that uncomfortableness is important. It's important to get. It's important to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's important to shake it up a little bit, rock the canoe. Sometimes you got to tip it over. I have a lot of stories over the years as to how I've done that to the people around me. I've never been a complacent kind of fella. Never have been. I am a boat rocker. I like to come in and, you know, kind of one of those guys that like to liven the party up a little bit. You know, let's have some fun. Turn the music a little louder. Pass around another glass of bourbon to everybody, please. But let's shake this boat up, man. It's a canoe rocker. That's what it is. That's one of the things I so appreciate about President Trump. I really enjoy him for that reason. He is also a canoe rocker in its purest form. We just don't like complacency. Doesn't like you to get too comfortable. Kind of pull the carpet out from underneath your feet and drop you on your ass, you know, basically kind of thing. And I understand that, you know. We tend to get too complacent as creatures of habit, you know, comfort food and all. We tend to get that way a lot, don't you think, you know? And then we fall complacent and almost asleep, you know. And I would think a lot of the country has actually done that over the last 30 years, has fallen asleep there is not much other reason or way you could explain the doofuses we've elected to high office and then some. There is no other way to explain that. We've been put in the dumber than dumb class in these political powerful positions as our elected officials, nonetheless, you know? I mean, these people who work for us and you'd never know it half the time. I mean, well, most all the time, actually, you know. But we don't elect the best in class. We elect pretty dumb people, actually. Now, they have to end up screwing us over and robbing us blind and getting rich in the process. And they can fall on both sides of the aisle. It's everywhere, people. I mean, it's not just the Dianne Feinsteins and the Nancy Pelosi's. It's not just those people that are wealthy and beautiful, you know, triple sub-zero, gorgeous refrigerators loaded with ice creams and, you know, gated communities, Rolls Royces pulling up. It's the life of the rich and famous, as they say, you know, the rich and famous. Probably not said exactly with that kind of an accent, but that's okay, you know. But that's kind of what it is. You know, they get that way. They feed off the system. It's that algae in the swamp. They suck that algae down all the time and they probably swallow it whole, you know. It's how they get fat and happy up there, basically. And they look out for each other. That's the whole John McCain, Mitt Romney club, you see. Backed again, electing doofuses to high office. That's why I tell you, the Republicans have done a swell job of that as well as the Democrats. Twice over, we blew campaigns up and elected the Marxists. Because we put doofuses like Mitt Romney and John McCain in there. I mean, does that tell you much? I mean, would you consider those people best in class? I mean, come on. This is the worst of the worst. It goes beyond the word rhino. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, come on. It doesn't mean that. But yet that's what we do. And these people, that's all part of the establishment club up there. They fit in real well, just like Joe Biden, you know? Joe buyback Biden. We'll explain the buyback a little bit later. You probably know what I mean by that if you're an inside person in politics, but Joe buyback Biden. It's got to be his nickname now, people. Joe buyback Biden. Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of interesting now what we're dealing with, what we're looking at. So what I did this morning, back to what I was saying a moment ago, I decided to get out of my echo chamber. Which I like to get out of the echo chamber because I don't mind being uncomfortable, actually. I think it's somehow it's how we get to a different level of thinking. It's how we step back. I always reference to you, let's step back to 35,000 feet. And the reason I'm saying that is because that's where we can sometimes look down and, well, number one, we can see a lot of the rats running around and we can see what the hell is going on at 35,000 feet. You know, you can see who's in the dark alleys and who's moving around on the boulevards and the roads. At 35,000 feet, you can see a lot of that, you see. But, you know, you don't really up close and you don't in the echo chambers. In those environments, you have no idea what's going on. You can't most of the time make heads out of tail, you see. So this morning I decided, okay, get out of the echo chamber, Malcolm. Suck it up, okay? So that's what I did, and I want to share some of that with you as we talk about the unity on the left and how they're so good. So in order to determine how unified the left was, well, what I did, I went to the left. I went to the water cooler, just where the left hang out. I went to CNN and MSNBC and Good Day and Today and Hello, Dolly Day and Dolly Dolly Wally Day. So I went to these kinds of programs to see what are they talking about? What's going on? You know, what are they thinking today as we see all this stuff happening in the national airwaves with the president's legal team and what the latest is or what the corruption fights are, what's happening and where this thing is going. It's like a blockbuster riveted movie. I'm as glued to the whole program as you are, people. It's like, okay, what's going on next? And kind of, you know, I'd love to say it's exciting to you, but it's not. It's a roller coaster ride, but I'm afraid it's a roller coaster ride to hell is what I'm really worried about. So I can't brag about it and say, this is really exciting. It's a fun roller coaster ride. I'm not really feeling that warm and fuzzy right now, people. I don't know about you, but it's alarming. It is alarming. We try to put our good face on and put a jump in our step, you know, but doesn't mean we're not alarmed for sure. So I turn on CNN. CNN, the Clown News Network, the Communist News Network. I mean, there's so many different names you could call that thing. So I turned that on first thing early this morning. Whenever that program starts with the good day. And 6 a.m. is it? Yeah. So I catch a little bit before them, and then I turn and make sure I'm on for the 6 a.m. and I can turn around the different channels. And so right away on CNN, they're talking about, do they start the program off with Joe Biden's cabinet picks? Now follow me where I go here. I'm going to give you a little tour and tell you what's going on and what you need to do here. Okay. All right. So they start talking about Joe Biden, his cabinet picks, and Tony Blinken. Going to be nominated for Secretary of State. Well, I got to tell you, that hurts my heart right there. I'm a big fan of Mike Pompeo. I'm a big fan of Mike, and that hurts my heart right there. So, oh, Mike, come on, don't tell me. You know, we got some good people out there. Pompeo's one of them, I think, you know. No-nonsense kind of guy. I like him. Puts his boots on one leg at a time. Puts his pants on one leg at a time. Real kind of guy, and knows how to slap the media down, which I always love to see. He's got that dry sense of humor, very sarcastic. I'm cool. I'd love to have a drink or two with Pompeo and get to know him a little bit here. Got to get him on the show here, I think, you know. So Tony Blinken, I don't know that he's any Pompeo, I'll tell you that for sure. But he's going to be, I guess, the new Secretary of State if this Biden cabal get their way. I have to always say that with a caveat, so you don't think I'm selling you out, people. I am certainly not on the, I've not given up. And so I don't want you to think, oh, Malcolm's giving up now. What the hell's going on here? What's in the water? No, I'm not giving up at all. But looking at the left today, and we'll get back to the right in a moment, okay? So Tony Blinken, that's it. And then the newscast goes on, growing number of Republicans blasting Trump in an effort to overturn the election. And I'm thinking, oh my God, the growing number, who are the growing number of Republicans at this point of time? Have they already given up on Trump? What's going on, man? We're just getting into the battle. We're just getting to the A part of the movie. We haven't even got to the Supreme Court yet, man. What's going on with all this? Don't we still have all those fraudulent claims and issues we need to be looking at? And, you know, something doesn't smell right. And then the next thing, Trump is cutting ties with one of its top lawyers who was peddling crazy conspiracy theories. No, not Rudy Giuliani. The other crazy, Sidney Powell. Well, they must have stayed up for a few hours in the wee hours before the show started to think of that line, right? To make that really smooth like that. No, the other crazy, Sidney Powell, not Rudy Giuliani. He's crazy too, but this is another crazy. So that's kind of where it starts there, and that he's cutting ties. And there have been a lot of stories on that, whether she was or wasn't part of the Trump legal team. And as you know, she was supposed to be on Viewpoint, in fact, this past weekend, but some things were happening at that moment on the weekend. And she responded back and forth to me and said she will be on ahead here. We shall see, people. We shall see. But now I know what was going on as the sky was falling here on the weekend. Wow. Or we would have had her on Viewpoint this Sunday. It's funny because we were in the midst of recording the program and she was going to be on the same program and it all blew up with me. Talk about a stressful weekend. Man, I got to tell you, it was this was beyond a 2-drink minimum, people, let me tell you. But this was all happening in real time as I was recording. So it was quite ironic of what do? Do you punt, run, kick, hollow, scream, what? And I just had to embrace it. I mean, what are you going to do at that point, people? You know, sometimes, you know, life gives you, you know, lemonades. And I've had that happen in my life. And I've become a pretty good lemonade maker at this point. So I've learned that much in my life. And it's okay. Sometimes you got to step back a little bit and make some lemonade. And I can make lemonade. And pretty good taste in lemonade, actually, people. You know, it's whenever the, you know, shit hits the fan and something happens, I could transition and make lemonade. So that's what I did on the weekend. And so we'll see where all that falls out. Listen, I think Powell has been trying hard and trying to get people's attention. And we shall see how all this plays out, people. So So CNN was all over that story, as you can imagine. Oh, my God. And this was all very bad timing. I mean, I think the president should have probably managed this one a little better. And Rudy should have managed this one a little better. I will confess to you right now, I think they should have handled this a little better. I mean, kept this information under wraps maybe a little bit, or figured out what went wrong, or why at one moment she was part of the team and the next moment she wasn't, without saying she was never really part of the team when you said she was part of the team. And which way is west again, and which way is east, and where are we headed again, kids? North, south, or what? I'm not really sure. But, you know, you got to kind of stay on one program, one sheet of music, people. Back to the unity factor. You see what I'm talking about now? Got to have that unity, right? And so back to those top Republicans here. So the top Republicans are coming out as his support is cracking. His support is cracking. And then it's like, dun, 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 who's cracking, I'm wondering. And they bring out, or they roll out, actually, Chris Christie. And Chris Christie is, you know, now, Chris Christie, you know, I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, was never a big superstar within the conservative movement. Let me put that out there, number one. This is before this stupid thing that he just said. I could have told you this last month or 6 months ago or a year ago here. I am not a big fan of Chris Christie. I mean, if you didn't know that, you know it now. Never have been. He's another one of these Mitt Romney, John McCain kind of people. Whichever way the wind is blowing, want me to hang on to it? I'll hang on. Whatever way the wind is blowing, I'm good to go here, you know. But you know, Chris got kind of kicked off a little bit early. I mean, I think he has a lot of hurt feelings with Trump anyway, because Trump didn't make him somebody of some consequence or what have you. But there was a lot of other things going on with Christie, with the whole bridge problem and other things he was having, and wasn't the best communicator of facts either, what was happening at the moment here. And it was a strange relationship, all of it. See, he goes on and he says, they're showing the video, Chris Christie, long-winded speech, but the gist of it, and I'm going to save you the time, was his legal team has been a national embarrassment, Chris Christie says, you know. National embarrassment. Of course, your bridge deal and everything you did in New Jersey was no problem, Chris. You did a fabu job. That was no embarrassment there, was it? It was perfectly legit, Chris. We got you. This is what Republicans do now, supposedly. And I always have to put the quotes up around the left and the right of the word Republican. It's like the word is so tarnished and tainted. It's time to change that party's name. Use the word Trump or MAGA or something else, since it is Trumpism, or call it whatever. Call it sky blue, fiery pink if you want, whatever. But I think the word Republican is well served its purpose or use, whatever purpose or use it had back in the day, you know. Or maybe just call ourselves the Patriot Conservatives, or people who love the Constitution, or people don't want communism, or it is all kinds of names we could come up with, people, you know. So he says, and then they go on with all of these top Republicans. Now I'm wondering, well, let's see who they got now, how they're going to roll out next year. And the next one was, Representative Congressman Fred Upton, Republican out of Michigan, says the voters have spoken. No evidence of fraud or abuse. It's over, he says. It's over. And then Governor Larry Hogan, the Republican out of Maryland, you see, out of Maryland, or Maryland, if you want to call it that, you know, but I like Maryland. And the gov there, Gov Hogan, says, we're beginning to look like we're a banana republic. Oh, he stole my thing, man. I use that on the weekend. We're a banana republic. I use that with Viewpoint this Sunday. I said the United Banana Republic of America. I was all over it. I've already trademarked it. He's stealing it, you know. But he says, we're beginning to look like a banana republic. It's time for them to stop the nonsense. Gets more bizarre every single day. And frankly, I'm embarrassed that more people in the party aren't speaking up. And then the reporter comes on and says, and you'll love this, to be clear, John, the majority of Republicans of elected officials still refusing to call President-elect Joe Biden by that title. I'm going to cry. Now, this is, the Doofus reporter there. It took it to John and what's her name? Camarada or whatever the gal's name there. She used to be with Fox, I think, way back in the day. Now she, I don't know what her politics were back then, but you certainly know what they are now if she's on socialist CNN for sure. And so they bring out, three stooges, the three blind mice. It's like, and the whole headline on CNN is top Republicans are coming out and support is cracking. Oh, it's a national embarrassment, Chris Christie. And then it's Fred Upton and then Larry Hogan. It's like, okay, and then the reporter, well, to be clear, John, the majority of Republicans of elected officials are still refusing to call President-elect Joe Biden by that title. And so that was that, And then from there, they pan to the next story is, CDC says not to travel. And then they show pictures of travelers, by the millions getting to the airports. And they say, look, nobody's listening. What is the matter with these fools? They're exercising their rights and their constitutional rights. The hell's the matter with these people? Nobody's listening, John. What are we going to do? And then they have a reporter come on next with a leopard spotted mask, like a leopard spotted, totally leopards, like a fashion statement. I love these fashion spotted spoofing, like the ones the Speaker Pelosi, Pukey Pelosi uses, And they have them now. They match your attire. You can get them in colors and styles. You can get them with sequins or, just all kinds of groovy stuff. Becomes sort of so when they do revert to Sharia law, you just put a little mask out of your, just like you have your ties and your handkerchiefs and your underwear. You've got your Sharia mask. You can pull out and wear that. Everybody can wear that. You see? Cool, huh? So you got a leopard mask. And she starts and she's got that. And it must be like really up against her mouth or something, or she's like blowing so hard or she's full of hot air that it's sucking up. Look like that. You're really hard to hear. You can go back and see what I mean. It's a leopard. Spider-Man. John. Americans are not listening to the advice to stay home this Thanksgiving. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, that was a joy to listen to her run on for several minutes before I could barely just get ready to change the channel. I had just about had enough of this one. But before I did, they went on to the AstraZeneca there, the 70% or 90%. I heard two different numbers. Anyways, it's effective, another vaccine, and they're happy with that and all of that. And then the next last message before I could barely change the channel, a growing number of Republicans urge for Trump to step aside and let the transition for Joe Biden begin. And they show a picture. This is as it now pans to commercial. Picture of Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Chris Christie. Well, that gives me, that's like it, man. I mean, if Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, and Chris Christie are tough, man, that's it. We're done. Put a fork in that, man. It's over. I mean, that's all I needed to see, people. And now I know the entire group of conservatism in our nation has all agreed Trump is done and can't make that stuff up. But that's the entry. That's the morning CNN. That's just before the commercial and they start to bring on the other people or whatever they're going to do. And I changed the channel and I went to Morning Joe and I flipped back to 6 a.m. so I could also see what Morning Joe was selling. And of course, Morning Joe even takes more from me because I see the Scarborough dude as such a doofus. And that lady that's with him, there are two morons in a ship at night with no light or nothing's in there. They got no engine. They got no fuel. They got no brains. They're on a very mean-spirited mission, these two. And they, because they had that weirdness with President Trump up front before he got into the deal where whatever was going on, it was a weird relationship. So anyways, they never got along. And they've been weirder than weird over the last 4 years. And I quite frankly pay no attention to them. But anyway, so Morning Joe, and they start, their big story was Chris Christie. And they show Chris up there and they went on. And Chris says this now, the country is what has to matter the most, Christie says. As much as I'm a strong Republican, don't fall on the floor, people, okay? I'm just telling you what he said. As much as I'm a strong Republican, I love my party. It's the country that has to come first. Well, the conduct of the president's legal team has been a national embarrassment. I voted for the president twice, but elections have consequences, and we can't continue to act like something happened here that didn't happen. Present the evidence, he says. It's like, okay, roll out the fat lady. She's about ready to sing, man. All right, there it is, Chris Christie. And then the Gov again, the Gov Hogan. Gov Hogan out of Maryland. And they roll him out again. And Joe says, Scarborough, now Joe, that Donald Trump and the Republican Party are actually, and this is his speech now, so listen to Joe. I guess they must have rolled out Hogan. I don't think he said any consequence, or at least I didn't write it down. He just said, and then Governor, I guess he was spewing the same garbage. I don't know. But then Joe Scarborough started with his very heartfelt speech. This is more important. It's very heartfelt now. You know, when Scarborough is very heartfelt, he's very dramatic. He pauses. He almost like he's going to cry. Like he wants to win an Emmy. He wants to win an Emmy award. You know, the Emmy award winning phenomenal host, journalist du jour, Emperor Joe Scarborough from MSNBC. And here he is. And so then he does his thing. He says, well, and I quote here, Donald Trump and the, and this is rich, so brace yourself. Donald Trump and the Republican Party are actually working to steal electoral votes by stripping Americans of their votes. Well, this is un-American. They are trying desperately every day to carry out a coup. Where did we hear that word before? Coup. Let me think. It'll come to me, people. It'll come to me. Coup. I know I've heard that somewhere in the last 4 years. I just can't put my finger on it, but it'll come. They are trying desperately every day to carry out a coup. Look up the definition, a coup. Well, that would overthrow the presidency of a democratically elected leader with over 300 electoral votes and over 80 million Americans. Now, people, as I've stated to you in prior days here, I have a very, very difficult time believing that Joe Biden received 80 million votes of any kind. In my wildest dreams of any kind, I could not come up with that equation. It just did not compute, no matter what happened. No matter if the fairy tale tooth godmother of the Electoral College came down and said, I grant you Biden by Pac-Man, boom, as many as you want, still wouldn't be 80 million. Okay. All right. So then he finishes up, a president who is working with a solid majority leader, Mitch McConnell, to stage a coup. There's that word again, coup. Where's that? Where have we heard that before? Stage a coup against a democratically elected president in the light of day. In the light of day. And they're doing it with Republican congressmen and women and senators across the country. And then he goes into a bit of Shakespeare next. None dare call it treason. And with all that, let's bring in correspondent and Reverend Al Sharpton. And at that point, friends, I could stand no more. I cannot hear Sharpton, no matter, I turned the channel again. And that was it. I'd had enough. I really didn't want to hear Fox News. I left that off, but that was enough for one day. But that gave me a sense of getting out of the echo chamber and knowing where the left is. Now, you know, wasn't too much of a stretch. I could have figured that out probably, but it was important still to hear it from their actual mouth and hear what they're up to and what they think is happening in the race and what takes place. So it's important we do that. So I share that with you today to understand how unified the left is. Because I did turn before, somewhere in between there, I did go to the Today Show. And I went to one of the other ones, CBS or ABC or one of them. They all are like the same to me, like the Globalist News Network. Let's just tie them all together, put them all in, call them the GNN, Global News Network, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, put them all in there, and that's what you got. Global News Network, and they're the pirates. They're the pirates of the Fourth Estate. That's what they are. So, you know, it's what they totally stolen our Fourth Estate, sadly. So I turned some of those on, and I wasn't hearing or seeing anything different. It was the same sort of garbage. And the reason for that, people, and the purpose of this talk here with you to tell you what they're up to, is also to explain basically that they are unified. They are unified all the way across the spectrum of the left. Now, the only place we've seen some disruption in the left is with the colors of the left, like the stripes of the left. There's the, they call it the progressive left. They're not the, let's call it the communist left, because the entire left is definitely socialist. But then you have the far, far left, which is basically communist and Marxist and all of that business. And we know that, we're seeing that right out there. And that's a fact. And then you've got all of these other shades and colors. And I think there is going to be that sort of a war inside. One thing that nobody really is talking about yet, but it is going to be a problem. The Bernie Sanders, I'm very anxious to see how this is going to work now. Bernie Sanders is probably getting tired of taking one for the team at this point. I'm going to warn you right now, probably getting very tired. He may end up becoming a really interesting, this may not sound right, but sort of a cohort, quasi-distant, but interesting friend of our movement ahead here, because I'm not sure how much he's going to be willing to bend over and take one for the team anymore, I have to tell you. But I think that, you know, Joe Biden and the Unity Task Force and all of the campaign, well, what they've done is they've made a lot of promises to the that group there, the squad group, and the Bernie Sanders. They really sold their soul to them is what they did. And what they, because there's no way they were going anywhere in the comedy car without having somewhere Bernie Sanders in there. Because if Bernie Sanders wanted to rebuke that or give them a difficult time by any stretch of the imagination, that would have been a real disruption and a game ender. Bernie Sanders knows a lot of dirt. He could totally have blown this thing out of the water and may still do that, actually. You got to realize what he also uncovered when Donna Brazile had pulled off all her funny business with Hillary Clinton, and they shammed that whole deal back there, remember? And Bernie took a bath. And not in a good way. And so that all there. And he, like I said, he's been run up and down the mill here at this point. And Marxist Bernie, socialist Bernie, is not going to be real happy. I'm not sure how they're going to calm him down and calm the whole thing. I'm not sure how they're going to do that, because it is starting to flicker. I'm seeing sparks of it. And I think it's going to burn up pretty good here. We'll see. It's all going to depend how. I know he's asking for certain things. They're going to have to do something. But the progressives, if you watch them this past week, the communist progressives, we'll call them the communists, they're not happy. The AOC, the little communist character that she is, they're not happy at all. And they are really getting not only disruptive, but they're getting angry, violently angry, and they don't care who they step on. These people are really out there. I mean, I think they'll blow anything up, not too far removed from any kind of a communist. That's how they think. That's kind of how these people think. So that's going to be an interesting fit into all this, where that ends up. I'm very curious to see where all that works. Having said all that, it even gets a little more interesting. Hang right there. Be back with more Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world. Featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
I love this headline in the Washington Post. Republican national security experts call on Trump to concede and to begin transition, damn it. Well, everything was there with the title except the word damn it. I added that to it. We're talking about a globalist program now, people, is what we're talking about. Reuters has a headline there. Biden push to restore U.S. global role starts with Blinken. You can see where this thing is going to go right now. We're going to be going, you're talking a globalist, they win with this now is what happens. This becomes... the United States becomes basic. I mean, let me just put it in English for you. Becomes the world's bitch again, basically. How else do you want me to put it? You want me to be real or you want me to sugarcoat it? We really are in becoming the world's bitch at that point. It's a fact. Now, you people that want to, you know, say, oh, you're being too hard. I'm being real, because that's what we've been. And then some over the last 30 years with the Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama. And if this thing happens now with Biden, if they can't get that evidence together and up to the Supreme Court with whatever happens there, then all bets are off, people. That's what you got here now. And it is what it is. And if that's the case, we'll have to talk about Plan B over the next 4 years. And we'll have to talk about how I can, you know, try to educate you and entertain you for 4 years. But more than that, we're going to have to talk about what the master plan is and how we take it back and what that looks like. You know, I mean, listen, my colleague Michael Johnson is always telling me about getting the group together, conservatives, so they're on one page. He understands the right is not unified at all. We talk about it a fair enough. And quite frankly, Johns is obsessed with it to the point, in a good way, to the point that he truly believes. And he's right. He's right. This is the whole message today. The left is totally unified and the right, not at all. Not at all. And you'll start to see the cracks happen more now. Unless there's some real, the only difference is now, I'm going to tell you, unless there's a real aha moment where it looks like Trump can get the power back and not be the lame duck. Because if he's the lame duck, all bets are off then. It's churning fast because Washington, and I'll prove it to you in just a moment, they would sell their mother out in a hot second. It doesn't mean anything to them, you know. So the Washington Post headline. Republican national security experts call on Trump to concede. Let me read you this little piece here. A group of leading GOP national security experts, including former Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge, urged congressional Republicans on Monday to demand President Trump concede the election and immediately begin the transition to the incumbent Biden administration. President Trump's refusal to permit the presidential transition poses a significant risk to our national security, at a time when the U.S. confronts a global pandemic and faces serious threats from global adversaries, terrorist groups, and other forces. This was from a statement signed supposedly by more than 100 GOP luminaries. I love that. 100 GOP luminaries have come together to sign that. Sort of like the same way they did, remember, up front, where they didn't want Trump to come in and take over the program and kick the deep state in the backside. Remember when that all happened, or all the generals got together, supposedly, or the military officers, which we knew was a hawk of you-know-what. But they get you get what you do is you get a few vanilla Republicans, and there's a whole bunch of those around. Like I said, you know, people call them rhinos, but it's even worse than that, you know. And you add them to all of the crazy people off to the far left and the far, far left and the far, 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 far left. And then you've got your 100 luminaries or whatever that means, you know. So we've seen that before is all I'm saying. It doesn't mean much, but that's what's happening now with the national security experts and what they're saying Trump should do. And there are still others who say they have his back or support him to try to find what evidence there is that this election was fraudulent or not, you know, okay? Here's where it gets really comical to me. And there's so much here we're going to need to talk about, and we're not going to get to all of it right now, but this is important. And it's what Trump ran against and what it's what he's all about. It's what the cancer and the danger to Washington is. So pay attention here to what I tell you, okay? And so this writer in the Washington Post, Roxanne Roberts, and Washington's establishment hopes a Biden presidency will make schmoozin' great again. They don't make America great again. They want to make schmoozin' great again. And listen to this now. This will fire you up, but it's rich. It's exactly what has been railed against. And Roxanne is saying it desperately needs to come back to Washington. You can't have a better article than this, really. And it goes like this. Washington is exhausted. Washington is optimistic. Washington is desperate for change. The aristocracy of the city is ready to move on, daring to hope that the last 4 years was a fever that finally broke and life can get back to normal. Normal, as in a respect for experience and expertise. Normal, as in civility and bipartisan cooperation. Normal, as in not wanting to punch someone in the face. Now, at the center of this hope is President-elect Biden, moderate by nature, attuned to the rhythms of the town, eager to bring back people together again. The Bidens know how to get around Washington, how to be part of the establishment, how to make it work for them in their everyday lives. There are a lot of Republicans who sat out the Trump years and bit their tongues for 4 years who are thrilled to have Biden back. Biden back. Buy back Biden. For the last 4 years, the tone from the White House was contemptuous of Washington, dismissing the permanent establishment, the longtime politicians, and former administration officials who call it home as the swamp or deep state, the social arbiters, traditionally respectful of a new administration, quickly found themselves between a Trump and a hard place to invite or not to invite. But Joe Biden's 47 years in Washington will be a huge plus. You see anything wrong with that piece, people? That is one that we need to get that piece I just read to you notarized. We need to put it in the Smithsonian. It needs to be highlighted or put under brass plate or littered in 24 karat gold, a bronze statue of some sort. This is symbolic to everything we talk about. It is symbolic into what President Trump went to Washington to try to undo 30 years of this nonsense that Roxanne Roberts just says we're missing so badly in Washington. We're missing the hush fund. We're missing the I pat you on the ass, you pat me on the ass. We all make a lot of money. We get those gated communities with the triple sub-zero refrigerated, gorgeous, loaded with the best, most expensive ice cream in the world that we could possibly get. And we live high off life. And we let our little peasants run around we're the elite, and we'll talk about the middle class, but we'll deliver them nothing. And we'll talk about the Robin Hood of fear, because that's worked so well for us over the last, well, at least 150 years. We'll just keep that one going. We probably can probably continue to convince Black America and, you know, Jewish America and Hispanic America and all these other groups, because, you know, we have a great marketing plan. I was just going to put that marketing plan out there. And this is the way they're thinking now. This is their thinking. This isn't me talking now. So don't give me any lip. But it's what they're thinking is. I would hope to God, my fellow Americans, that Black America, Jewish America, Hispanic America, women would stand up and say, enough. We don't want the likes of your plantation, you socialist communist bastards. We are off your plantation, you would think. Yeah, you would think, Roxanne Roberts. But that whole piece, I'll tell you, it's rich. It's rich. I could not have written that any better than this woman did. It's perfect. It is symbolic. I'm going to keep this now to remind us along the journey in the next many years, if this thing takes fruit, you know, God willing or God not willing, and the creek don't rise, and we can turn back time. I don't know. But in the meantime, to finish up this perfect day as we launch another week of paradise here, I want to mention to you that some other wonderful news with Joe Buyback Biden. Well, he's looking to have a buyback gun program now. And this is going to be real exciting to talk about for your Second Amendment that Donald Trump has been warning you all about very clearly about your Second Amendment being jeopardized and the Democrats that have been running around thinking, nah, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Well, he's now going to have a buyback program with all kinds of things we'll be talking about in the days ahead. Exactly the appetizer to the entree of everything we've talked about, people. This is really the beginning now of the stripping of your Second Amendment rights. Rest assured, not to get in, your other rights are already leaving the party. Your other rights within the free press and the free speech, all that stuff is already down the yellow brick road. And now your other rights, I am sorry to say, appear to be following. It is what it is at this point, isn't it? You know, but you're going to love this too. And I hate to be such a bearer of such fabulous news on this day, but Joe Buyback Biden, back to his 47 years in Washington to be a huge plus now. Okay. Climate. Oh, this is good. This is good. All my friends on the climate side, all of our scientists, the NASA people, and even Dr. Jay Lehrer and all them and Tom Harris and Professor Larry Bell, all of them, they're going to be real excited about this climate program. One thing for sure is they'll have a lot of fodder for the next many years if this does go through. And we can't get something to, change this thing or fix it to what it should be, obviously. But he's naming John Kerry as the climate czar. Hardly gets any better than that on a particular day here. Climate czar in the new administration. So we're back to calling them czars again. And it's going to be John Doofus Kerry. Will be John D. Kerry, the D for doofus. Will now be the climate czar in the new administration. And it goes like this. America will soon have a government that treats the climate crisis as the urgent national security threat it is. I'm proud to partner with these president-elect, our allies, and the young leaders of the climate movement to take on this crisis as the president's climate envoy, the czar. This is what Kerry put out on Twitter now, okay? You know, you got to remember they campaigned, I think it was on like almost a couple of trillion, like 1.8 or 1.9, something like that, a plan they put together to transition to 100% clean energy sources by 2050, ain't going to happen, people. Ain't going to happen in any category. It is an approach that would permeate nearly every aspect of government and the economy, with measures to gradually reduce greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to global warming, which is nothing but a farce and then some. I mean, it's of no consequence or value to any of us. The climate on planet Earth will always change. It was designed that way. It will always be that way. It is the part of nature and the part of the galactical environment of this beautiful blue marble we live on. So it is what it is, people. You know, listen, on a bright note, I would rather leave you on a bright note. It's this. Remember this. President Trump has appointed, I mean, like lots, scores, I mean, four scores, and appointed lots of conservative judges to federal courts across our great country, my fellow Americans, from sea to shine and sea, that is. And of course, with the three Supreme Court picks, there will be some restrictions, whatever happens with the buyback program in the Senate, of course. But the Biden administration will be trying to pull all the levers to begin to initiate and initialize their communist program for America here, and with all of the people in play. So, my fellow Americans, that there is a little brightness at the end there, I hope to leave you with here. But the point of the story is we got out of the echo chamber. We know what they're up to. We know the insanity level. We know the left is very unified. We know the right is not so much. We know the left loves to call the right out, and they pull the same kind of stooges in, the Chris Christies, the Mitt Romneys, and you got the Hogan guy and the Gov in Upton. You got others, you know, that little bit of, you know, vanilla wishy-washy, and they can pull some people in. But again, to stand hard and fast for truth, and, you know, and let truth be truth. If you know, whoever rightfully won this election should be the one to enter 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Whoever the rightful winner and owner is of those votes is who should truly open those doors and be part of that, be the president here of this great country. The thing is, you have to convince me and all of these other Americans that he won it fair and square, and a new way to govern and run a campaign from one's basement, and won 80 million votes in a historical landslide, upside down backwards campaign to the likes of what we've never seen in our great nation. Truly remarkable, people, truly remarkable. Or there is entirely a widespread fraud extravaganza that we need to appeal quickly with proper evidence to the Supreme Court and rule accordingly. And if that takes a constitutional crisis or a confrontation, well, then let's have had it. We are ready for whatever that means, because it is what it is, people. And we are not willing to lie down our lives for this ridiculous program here. We are willing to lie down our lives for the beautiful America that we know that it is and should be, and the rightful owners of America. And that's it. I mean, it is what it is, and it needs to be what it is. My fellow Americans, we are in some interesting times. We'll see. There are a lot of strange reports out there, I'm seeing. A lot of things still yet to talk about. We'll see where each step of the way takes us in the journey ahead. And I thank you, as always, for being with me on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.